Our world is dying, politicians are lying, and just when you feel like crying, sit and have a listen to people who have shit themselves.
Hello there.
Hello, I'm Evie.
I'm Claudia, and we are the hosts of the Poodcast, a podcast all about trying to break down that poo taboo.
Yes.
Yes, end yes. of. And today we will be chatting to the phenomenal and just effortlessly lovely, I would say, yeah. Liz Guterbach.
She is a wonderful person, and we will be talking to her about her experiences with IBS mm-hmm. and whether or not you or we or you the listener think diarrhea or constipation is worse.
It's some real highbrow chat.
We can only imagine that we're going to be invited onto the Intelligence Squared debate in no time.
And also, I mean, if you are a big gluten-free, dairy-free snackaholic, then yeah. This is the episode for you, my friends.
I can't believe you think that constipation is a bit better.
Don't spoil it.
Sorry, I'm reeling.
Actually, on that note, on yeah. the constipation note, I took a screenshot
because I saw
our glorious friend Lottie Drynan.
You've taken quite a few pictures of your front door there.
I know, because I painted my front door
yesterday. I know, it's the first thing I said to you.
Yeah, exactly. Don't you think other people want to know?
I just didn't realise there would be so many angles.
Yeah, because I was sending it to my friend as I went along. She asked for updates.
Okay.
She asked for this. Oh, I've painted my front door yellow, everyone.
To be fair, I would want updates.
Yeah, thanks very much. Okay. Lottie Drynan posted about these yesterday. Oh, it's a company called Be You, and they do...
I don't want to fucking be me. I want to be anyone else but me.
If you want to be Lottie Drynan...
I want to be Lottie Drynan. I don't want to be me.
It's period pain relief patches, like patches that you put on your tummy, but...
God, you really took that horse to water there, didn't you?
Well, you might put them anywhere else. You might might put them up you. I don't fucking know. But the reason that it caught my attention was because they're cooling patches, and they're also really helpful for people with IBS cramps. And obviously, I always go on about how I love cool on my stomach, not hot.
You do.
And I, at the minute, use freaking ice packs, or if I've out
you
and
have
about,
a lot in.
I have a lot of ice packs. Why do you think I have so many?
Not just for my wisdom teeth.
Not just for you and your bloody wisdom teeth, which seem to be doing a bit better.
They got infected, but it's separate. That's a separate thing. It's been so bad.
It's been a time for you. But I thought it was really great that it's an alternative rather than doing what I've been doing when I'm out and about, going to the newsagents, getting a Coke, lifting up my stomach and putting it on that.
Sweetheart.
So just for anybody else, the company's called BU. I'm going to get some and try them, and I'll let you know how I get on.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. Well, thanks Lottie though as well.
Yeah.
We need to get, should we ask her? She's had a baby since we last spoke mm-hmm. to her.
She's amazing, and she does such brilliant videos about being a new mum, but also about, she does these size comparisons with the lady Laura from Bake Off.
She's
a size 26 and Lottie's a size 12, and they try on loads of different outfits and see what they like. It's just fantastic content.
Wonderful. I love both of those women.
Speaking of people who've come on the podcast that we should do a little shout out to.
Yeah.
I saw this week Primark is being hailed as El Fantastico shop because they recently displayed for their Valentine's Day pictures an advert with a woman in lingerie with a stoma.
And here woman was.
It's Amber Davies.
There it is.
Who you should also check out. She's called Amber Ostomy on Instagram, and she's just
and
fabulous.
We have an episode with her from, I'm going to say 2020.
Yeah, season one. I think she was like our fifth guest ever.
She's great.
But yeah, check her out. And I thought that was amazing and good for Primark. For advertising stomas in a sexy sense. I love it.
The first thing after I complimented the colour of your door when I got here, I complimented your sweater vest,
also
which
Primark.
Is from Primark, because you had to queue outside Primark because you forgot your PE kit or something.
I forgot my swimming kit when I was taking the kids swimming, so I had to run to Primark. And I was so bummed about it that I thought I deserve a treat, so I bought myself four sweater vests.
You bought four?
I'm the latest, like, Chandler Bing.
You are a sweater vest. Thanks, man. I would like to see them now, please.
Oh, yeah, maybe I'll get them out and I'll put them on the podcast.
Please do. Okay. Maybe we'll see it on a video, because we've got a video of Liz, or picture, maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're recording three episodes today. You're going to see...
a lot of the sweater vest.
a lot of this sweater vest.
I have a nice jumper on.
And Evie looks good too.
I have a nice jumper on. My face, my brain, my body are broken, but I'm wearing a nice...
And she's tying it all in a nice little bow on her jumper to keep it all together.
It's all wrap cardigan, actually, from And Other Stories, because I've just decided ballet wraps, ballet core is my thing now.
You're going to get into ballet?
I did used to do a lot of ballet. Mm. I did ballet from the age of 2 until 15, but I had an operation on my foot and that was my ballet career.
Oh, she could have been the next Darcy Bustle.
That's what I wanted more than anything.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know this about you.
Oh my God, yeah. That's all I ever wanted to do was be a ballerina.
I see it's more kind of like a Tonya Harding figure skating world.
A fraud then?
No,
just a murderer.
Cut people on the ice.
I've never seen I, Tonya.
Oh, it's a fantastic film.
Cut on the ice. Is that from Mighty Ducks?
I don't know.
That quote.
It's
cut on the ice. And then hit the ice.
No,
that's
I was
Amelia
more
Estevez.
Thinking about supposedly she like slashed, like broke someone's legs right before they competed. So that's why she's famous.
Yeah, it wasn't her though, was it?
Well,
it was her.
Or was it?
Well, it definitely wasn't, but it's was she behind
yes,
it?
Yes, did she hire the thugs to do it?
Probably.
Anyway, shall we get the lovely Liz on?
Let's get on
Liz on, baby. Today, we are joined by Californian comedian, actor and improviser Liz Guterbock. Liz has received multiple nominations for her comedy performances, including BBC's Radio 4 New Comedy Award. In 2023, she returned to the Edinburgh Fringe with high acclaim for her show, Geriatric Millennial, and has starred in HBO's Avenue 5 and Channel 4's For the Love of Cars. Hi, Liz. How are your bum and tum doing today?
Well, actually, good, I think. I, great. Like, okay, I'll be really real with you.
Please. I'm lying.
Yes, very good. So I had my breakfast. I had my savory breakfast, you know, which is supposed to be better for digestion and blood sugar levels and all that
is
stuff.
It?
Well, that is what is currently, it's what my nutritional therapist has advocated.
That sounds good.
And then... Also, on a wider scope, I don't know if you've heard of the glucose goddess.
Yes, we love the glucose goddess.
Do you know, everywhere.
Oh my God, she's amazing. She'll talk about having like eat the greens before you eat the protein, before you eat the carbs, because it doesn't spike your blood sugar. And then porridge, I think you guys call it oatmeal. How you'd have like avocado in it rather than like banana. Because it doesn't spike your blood sugar. And oat milk, but Claude's is now on the oat milk. She's vegan these days. It's real bad, babe. Oat milk, she doesn't like it.
It's because it has, so basically you're stripping, I think, because you're stripping all the fiber out of it, basically. So I do almond or cashew.
Okay, same, babe.
And so we started down a whole track about my, but basically had savory breakfast because it's basically to avoid a blood sugar spike in the morning, which increases like sugar cravings throughout the day. But just to say, had my savory breakfast. Came on the call was like preparing to come on and talk to you lovely too.
Yeah.
And then I thought I need to go to the bathroom, which makes sense. And then I went and I'll just be straight up. My stool was a little looser than I would like it to be.
Okay.
It's not crazy, but also it makes sense because I've been under like not crazy stress, but just like life stress.
Yeah.
And so my body is telling me, it's like, you need to slow down. I'm like, okay. I will.
This is sometimes what I think as well. Is it just my body telling me, oh, this isn't good for you, but there's nothing you can do because you will experience stress? That sometimes I never know then what action I should take. Just like, oh, okay, this is me. This is who I am, you know?
Yeah, this is where we are now. And I think it's so funny, but it's like, it's hard to, I think at a certain point, like when you have IBS or you have digestive issues, you're like, well, there's got to be something I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I think for me now, especially because I have so many solutions and stuff, most of it is just like, just chill out. You can just relax.
Now,
just
that stop. Sounds easy to do.
Right? Yeah, in the midst of your whole life, just relax.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I had a bit of this last night. I couldn't sleep, and I was lying in bed with my hands balled into a fist, going, can you not just relax? And then I was like, this is not conducive to a good night's sleep. I was like, why can you not just chill out? You're so rubbish at this.
Just relax.
Chill out.
I went through a huge period of time, actually sort of like in lockdowns and stuff. I just had, I think a lot of people had really bad insomnia. Mm-hmm. And one thing someone told me, I can't remember if it was my therapist. I think either my therapist or I read it online or both. But they were just like, when you can't sleep, just don't try.
Yeah.
Like, just do something else. But yeah. Then, yeah, and that does seem to help a bit. But then, yeah. Yeah, what are you supposed to do?
Or just shower yourself.
Ball yourself in the fridge. Why can't you do this?
Yeah, why are you rubbish at relaxing? yeah. No, I had in COVID, I had really bad insomnia. And yeah. I had an insomnia specialist that I used to speak to on the phone. And she said, just 20 minutes. If you're not asleep within 20 minutes, just get up and do something else. And
I okay.
Provided it wasn't going on a laptop or your phone, you can do whatever you want.
What are you doing?
I made baking one night, 3 a.m.
Come around the whole reupholstered sofa.
it was painted flat. It was actually great because then I got really tired, fell asleep. And when I woke up, there was a banana bread waiting.
Well, I mean, that's so great. And right. Was it a gluten-free banana
it
bread?
It was a gluten-free banana bread. Yes, I
love
can
it.
Great.
Love it so
are
much.
Are you gluten-free as well?
I am gluten and dairy-free. So the dairy-free started before gluten-free. Mm-hmm. I think that started in 2015. Basically, like I had debilitating back pain. And a debilitating lower back pain. And I went to lots of physios and stuff and it just like wasn't getting any better. And I went to an osteopath, which in the US is a very different profession to what it is in the UK. Like,
okay.
It's not something rude.
No, it's not something rude. No, there's still, they
it's
still,
very
like
different.
The, it's very different. But, like there's, so I went to, I had never heard of osteopathy, and basically I was looking on the NHS website and they were like, we don't recommend osteopaths for anything except for lower back pain. Oh. And I was like desperate. So I was like, okay, so I'm going to try this thing.
Yeah.
And I went to this osteopath and it's cranial sacral osteopathy, which is kind of what I would describe. I had no idea what it was. I was like, this lady has just done healing hands on me. But basically okay. I went in, told her a little bit about my situation. She at one point was looking at my spine and went, did you have a really bad case of glandular fever when you were a kid? I was like, yeah.
What?
Not totally nuts, right? Crazy. And I'm a Californian. Like I'm into airy fairy shit all the time.
Yeah.
I saw this and I was like, I'm sorry, what? And so I basically got on her table. She did sort of like healing hands on me. Didn't like touch me a bit, but like it wasn't hardcore manipulation or anything. I got up off the table. My back pain was better. But like 90% better after months and months. After going to see this woman for a little bit, at one point she was like, have you thought about, so basically it all came down to inflammation. My gut inflammation was causing sort of a chain reaction of lower back pain and stuff. And she went, consider going off dairy for a month and see if that helps.
Yeah.
And then come back on it and see if you have a flare. And I went off dairy for a month, went back on it, and had immediate back pain. And so I was like, oh my God, okay, so it's dairy intolerance.
That's
cut to 2018. I spent like a year, and I was in Edinburgh doing the Fringe. Like everything was really stressful around that time. And I had spent probably about a year with like diarrhea.
Yeah.
And I finally went to the NHS and they tested me for diverticulitis and Crohn's and colitis and all those things. And really, thankfully, gratefully, I don't have any of those things, but I was diagnosed with IBS and the NHS, bless them. I love them. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, just cut some things out of your diet. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that without some help. So I was, luckily I was able to afford to go to a nutritional therapist. And through that, I then became gluten-free. So all this stuff was like various trial and error. And I came, the coming to be dairy-free through an osteopath is not something I ever thought
I would do. Incredible.
Also
weird going to loop.
Yeah. And also being dairy free is something I never thought I would do because my dad, was a dairy farmer.
Oh my
so,
God.
So like, it didn't go well. It didn't go down well.
Obviously,
with my family. When
generationally,
like,
this over time, your family has eaten so much cheese that it's got to you, yeah, and you've gone, no more. We can't. This line of DNA cannot take it.
Can't have
any
more.
No more.
What happens when you go home and dad brings out a cheese platter?
Well, then I just don't eat it. My butt, yeah, fully explodes. Which, you know, in America, they're used to having fireworks at home, so it's fine.
I actually wanted to ask you this question. Have you found a difference in the willingness or openness of people willing to talk about bowel conditions between London and California? Have you noticed a difference in that?
So I think California... I would say specifically Los Angeles, mm-hmm, totally open to all that stuff. And okay, they would, I would say also, well, the way that I remember it, when I was living in LA, it was around the time that everyone's like, oh my God, Miley Cyrus has gone gluten-free. And then everybody was like, I'm going to go gluten-free. Not because they had to, but because they're like, it'll make you skinny.
Yeah.
It'll make you skinny and it's good for you. So you're just like, okay. So I think in LA, people will be on board with being dairy-free, gluten-free, vegan, all that stuff.
Mm, yeah.
Certain parts of California, like I grew up in a really conservative part of California. That doesn't mean they're not open to being gluten and dairy-free, but I would say like maybe less open, but California in general, pretty amenable to like the allergy stuff and, and intolerant, like gluten and dairy intolerance probably. London is, I don't know. I feel like the restaurants cater really well to folks with gluten and dairy free stuff. I would say the wider UK has definitely gotten better, but most of the comments I get, it feels like generational. It feels like it's a generational difference rather than like a country difference. Although, yeah, like my mom and dad will just be like, well, what can you even eat now? Lettuce? You know, it's that thing where you're just like, oh, really? Like, are we still having that conversation?
Yeah, it's really straightforward. And it has been for the past 6 years. I don't know what more you want me to say.
Always
the same.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be eating the cheese. That's it.
Yeah, I'm just not going to be eating cheese. Not eating gluten. And the thing for me is like, I was lucky enough to go to Austria recently for Christmas.
Amazing.
And I ate, it was incredible. And my gluten, basically for me, I can have some bits of dairy and gluten before there's a big, big problem. Mm-hmm. So like I say, I'm very fortunate in the sense that I don't have Crohn's or colitis or something like that. But over time, if I eat a lot of it, I will start to, it would just be really bad. And like my skin, like I get a rash and, you know, it's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I could have some in Austria and enjoy myself, but there's a real cutoff point where it's like, and in Austria, as far as I could tell, they're just like, you will eat cheese and you will eat bread.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. And fair, like fair enough. I don't expect everybody to be able to cater for me, but yeah, I would say travel is probably when it gets difficult. And certain places, both in the UK and the US, it'll just be either easier or harder to eat around, depending, you know. Yeah.
I don't know if it's because we talk about it so much, obviously having a podcast. I feel like even in the last 5 years, people are speaking a lot more about their guts, about their toilet habits. I mean, when we started this podcast, anytime we saw anybody, they wanted to tell us about what their insides looked like and when the last time was they had diarrhea. I even was at a friend's family home the other day and my friend's mum had to ask the dad to stop telling me about the times he'd chat himself. She was like, we're having breakfast. It's just not okay anymore.
It's not okay. That's so funny.
Oh, God. And he was like, well, in a minute, come outside and I'll tell you all about my gastrointestinal examination.
He wanted to carry on.
He really wanted to get graphic. He often will send me voice notes via my friend about wind he's passed, any sort, anything.
Oh, wow.
I think he's using me as his kind of like gas therapist.
Oh,
which is fine.
He's like, she'll understand me. Yeah. He feels heard.
I kind of want to get him on the podcast just to.
Sounds like we have a lot of content.
We could press record and just leave. Like, and yeah. That would be okay. But it's nice that people want to speak about it so much now.
It's great. My housemate had some friends over and I was sort of in the other room doing whatever. And they were wrapping, they were about to start something, watching TV or whatever. And her friend went, hang on a second, I need to go for a poo. And for me, I felt like such a prude. I was like, oh my God, I would never say that. I would never do that. And then also my housemate, very kindly, she's like, well, use my bathroom, not my housemate's. I was like, thank you.
Aww.
Very nice.
So nice.
It's really nice. But then I was thinking, oh my God, I'm such a prude. Like, I would never, I don't know if I would feel comfortable enough saying in someone's house, like, I'm going to go for a poo.
I don't know if I would either, which is, I know we have this podcast, but I don't know if I would say in somebody else's house, I'm going to go for a poo.
I don't
now.
Even know if I'd say it in your house. Yeah. I might, if you asked me, I'd tell you.
What are you going to do in there?
Yeah, I'd tell you, yeah. But I wouldn't volunteer it. Or if you'd said, did you do a poo? I'd admit to it. But I don't think I'd just volunteer it. But I kind of back that. I like it.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it.
No, I don't. There was part of me that was like, oh my God, decorum, what are you doing? And I was like, well, but also good for her. Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
but that is what the problem is, though. Does it set a level of expectation? Like, am I now, no matter what happens, if they're in, they're out, I'm like, oh, wow, their bowel movements are really quick. They're really speedy. If they take a long time, I'm now like, I'm getting a little bit worried about them. Do I need to ask them about their diet? Like, it does start a conversation. So maybe if you don't have much to talk about, then tell people you're going for a poo and let them understand you better.
Yeah, maybe. I think the fact of the matter is I spent such a long time desperately trying to hide what I was doing in the bathroom because, and I'm sure you both experienced this, where it's just so constant, or for some people it's so constant, or for some people it's so infrequent and so painful, depending on what it is, that you're just like, I can't, and part of it is like, I can't talk about this. I feel embarrassed. I don't want anyone to know what I'm doing in the bathroom. And then reaching a point where it's like, oh no, it's actually really important to look at your poop. It's really important to like look at what's going on.
I'm very bad. I don't do that.
Well,
ever.
We had a guest on who was telling us about
never. And I've been told by two separate guests how important it is, but I just, my prudish. That's my decorum. Please, it's behind me now.
I mean, I would say important, or maybe just once in a while helpful. You could, you don't want to become obsessed.
Well, yeah.
You don't want to spend too long.
I mean, the guy that came on, he was telling us that he kept a log, didn't he?
The log, yeah.
So he kept a look. But I mean, that was due to lots of health issues where he was kind of like, I need to keep track of this. Hence the log was born. Yeah. But
there's the poo chart, right?
The Bristol Sword, yeah. I mean, and you know, you could have a cute little picture of that framed in your bathroom. You could make it chic if you needed it to be. There's always ways to make these things look nice. I don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe. Well, I think it could look good in a bathroom, the little Bristol stool chart.
Yeah.
But I do have to be in a specific mood for it to be in there.
You can go use my bathroom, but what kind of mood are you in? Because you might not like
it. Well, and then for a while, like, I know I had adult friends in the States. I'm not friends with any kids. I'm like, no, my adult friends.
My adult
friends. I don't know why I said that. But my adult friends, my adult friends in LA went through a phase where lots of people had that book, Everybody Poops in their bathroom. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's still around. And they're just like, this is what we do in here. You're like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, I was given a new poo book by my mum for Christmas and I was like, okay,
I'll put that in the bathroom. Right, then.
It's going in the bathroom.
But I think it's about the history of poo, and it is quite interesting. But it's like, yeah, it's like anything. Like if you want to say to people, I don't know, I'm going to start doing karate, then every birthday, every Christmas, you'll get a karate mug
and a karate scar.
And it's really lowered the level of gifts for me.
Oh no, it's really lowered the bar.
It is a sample pot.
She gave it to me as a little extra. We all get books on Boxing Day. We do Boxing Day books.
That's so nice. And she then said,
"This is a little extra." She flagged that it was an extra thing. It wasn't a serious book, and I did appreciate that. You know, my serious book on Boxing Day doesn't have to be shit related, but you know, we're all learning. As we go.
So you, Liz, can you just tell us about your show, Geriatric Millennial? Because you were just talking about, okay, I don't know, about the books and the, yeah, I know that's what we're doing here, because it features some of the observations that you make as well about the Brits. And can you just talk to us about that and what you find?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Well, I would say, like, Geriatric Millennial is just sort of it's a love letter to the UK, my experience of it, being an American in the UK, but also I have a British passport. So it's more sort of asking the question, like, where do I fit? Am I British? Am I American? And I think now I'm a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. I would say probably the thing that people remember the most from the show is when I talk about how nobody in the UK has a tumble dryer. Now I say nobody, I don't mean nobody. There are people, lots of people who have tumble dryers, but
such a good observation.
People have them, but like, you know, I have this whole thing where I'm like, getting used to having a crunchy towel, really, I struggled with it. Mm. I really struggled with it.
You don't like that?
I don't really like it, but now I've grown to love the free exfoliation. So, perfect. You know, it's like I'm getting used to it. So it's, you know, silly observations like that. And, you know, like getting used to different, it's like it's little differences, sometimes bordering on big differences. And making silly jokes like, you know, British people are eternal optimists and they have to be eternal optimists. Most people disagree with that, but people are eternal optimists. British people are eternal optimists because they have outdoor washing lines.
It all links.
It all links back together. But, you know, I think I was also talking about changes in my body. Like I'm 42 and I'm possibly going through perimenopause. Also very interesting because the gut and our cycles are inextricably linked. And for a while they didn't know if I had IBS or endometriosis or what it was. Okay. But yeah, in Geriatric Millennial, I just basically talk about aging, not having kids, being a woman who's not going to have kids most likely, and the sort of the difficulty around some of that, how I feel about it, what I'm worried about, you know, who's going to look after me or will anyone be around when I'm older? Am I going to join a commune and would you like to come?
Perfect. I was about to say, we'll look after you, Liz.
Yeah, great. Let's come on. Let's do it.
We'll be there for every bowel movement.
Exactly. It'll be great. We can tell each other when we're going to go for a poo. It's going to be great.
Every shit you take.
Yes.
I just think there's an anthem in there somewhere.
God, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I loved doing Geriatric Millennial. I think it was, the audiences were so warm and it just felt like, it feels like it's, yeah, kind of a love letter to everybody. And yeah, I'm glad that I live in the UK, even though it is challenging sometimes on the sensibilities.
I think that's a fair comment.
Yeah.
And I read that you were listed in The Guardian's 10 best jokes of the fringe last year.
Yeah.
Could we hear the joke?
Yeah, I was. The most British thing I've ever heard is a lady who said, "Well, I'm sorry, but I don't apologize."
Wow.
This is a woman in a Waitrose.
Even more Brazilian
context, which is like so perfect. And I was like, she wasn't saying it to me. She's, I wasn't there for the context. I just heard the, the phrase, and then I was like, how do you respond to that? I don't know.
Listen to what you've just said, please, lady.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm sad that I missed you at the Fringe because I was there for a bit.
Are you going again
this year?
I'm not going this year. I'm taking a little break, which I'm not very good at doing. But
you don't want to have a mental breakdown for a month in August? Strange, isn't it?
I don't think so. My little gut. Over the years, I've learned to try to listen to, you know, my nutritional therapist and, you know, get better at taking breaks. But yeah, I'm excited because while it's hard, I'd like to perform Geriatric Millennial again, but I feel like it's time to put her to bed and just started to work on a new show, and hopefully I'll be back in Edinburgh in 2025.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll be there.
Yeah.
Amazing. What were you doing up in Edinburgh? You were performing as well?
No, I was being a punter. I get all the benefits of the Fringe without having to. Yeah. Although I was there for 4 days. I didn't eat a single vegetable the entire time. It was absolutely incredible how dreadful your life becomes so rapidly when you're there. I didn't sleep. I didn't
eat. It's like freshers. It's uni.
It's awful. If I was there for a month, I'd have to really put something in place because I was not coping. Yeah.
Well, as and when and if you do end up there for a month, I can give you, go to Real Foods, which is great. They have like all the gluten-free, dairy-free stuff up there. We'll find you some vegetables when you're
Thanks.
Up there.
I think it's really important.
They'll be.
Somewhere. They are there.
And Liz, we always ask our guests if they have any fun toilet tales to share with the audience. Have any come to mind for you?
Well, I think one that is Edinburgh related as well was mostly a situational thing rather than a specific. Yeah, all I remember is we were five people sharing an Edinburgh flat. There was one toilet.
No, thanks.
The showers were separate.
Okay, but good news.
Basically, which is great. Yeah, so that's a plus. The toilet was in a single room right by the entryway.
Nice.
Obviously, it was a single room, yeah. We had one person, so two people, me and my friend Louise with IBS, my friend Joe Emsley with, he has celiac disease. So, you know, people with bowel issues. There were two normies, as we'll call them, my friends Chris and another Joe.
Chris and Joe.
Yeah, I know, Chris and Joe.
The regulars in every sense, Chris and Joe.
Right? They sound so regular. My lovely friend Louise Bastock and I and Joe Emsley, you know, we're looking at this, what we then termed a poo closet, going like, okay, we have to find a way to mitigate all the things that are going to happen in this room. And the only thing we had was a teeny tiny candle that could just keep everything fresh. And would you believe it? No. We made it through the month with no real disasters.
Amazing.
I think I probably... This is the thing. I feel like I've blocked out of my brain when I've shit myself just because it has happened so over that year, especially 2018, happened so frequently that it was just like, I can't, you know. The other story that came to mind, which again is more about holding things in or like the frustration that I had when I had just realized I needed to become dairy free. So it was 2015. I'd gone off dairy, came back on it, went off it for a month, came back on it and realized, oh, this is causing my back pain. This is an inflammatory thing. I can't eat dairy anymore. And I was so angry. And, you know, you go through all the phases, you bargain, you go through grief, you go through all this stuff, and everywhere you look, that transition into becoming dairy and gluten-free is so tough. And it sounds so dramatic, but
it's
in everything.
Everything.
Dairy is in everything. And you're looking around and literally my dad going, what can you eat anymore? Lettuce starts to really grit.
And the wind turn going round and round.
Yeah, come on. So I was really, really angry. And I got to December. I've probably been dairy free for about 3 or 4 months. And I got to December and I was like, fuck this. I hate this. I don't want to do this. I'm gonna go and have a Christmas blitz. My friends had invited me to a fondue party.
Fuck. Oh,
so cool. I decide I'm going to eat all the cheese.
Oh, what, you think I'm going to go to a fondue party and not eat the cheese? Yeah.
Mind you, remind yourself, Liz, that in 2014, I had some fondue and I got so ill, like I puked. But this was before this was before I even knew that I was dairy-free. So anyway, I eat so much fondue, drink all this red wine, and then get on a plane to Seattle, where my parents are now.
Oh, gosh.
And it turned into what would have been a 10-hour flight, turned into a 17-hour flight because we were delayed and there was all this other stuff that happened. And I'm sitting there just churning up all of this horrible, and you should, you know, listeners, I am making a gyration that should not be seen.
It's like she's in a hula hoop class.
Shakira
on a flight.
Not a movement you want to associate with a plane.
Just churning up all this inflammation on my
Jesus
Christ. And then I go to try to get up and I'm like hunched over, debilitated, and spent that whole Christmas trying to have a shit and not, because dairy causes the opposite thing for me. Like, I just will be constipated.
That is, for me, way worse.
Yeah.
It's so much worse.
So much worse than diarrhea.
Now, this is the question. In that little flat in Edinburgh, when we only had the one toilet, this is the question we'd asked each other.
Yeah.
Would you rather be constantly having diarrhea or constantly blocked up?
And my friend diarrhea. Always,
no, but if you're sharing a flat with all those people.
If I'm constipated, I'm thinking about it every second of every day. If I'm once the diarrhea is done, even if it starts again in 5 minutes, those 5 minutes respite, I'm not.
But if you've got diarrhea all the time, it's all that everybody else is thinking about every 5 minutes. It's like, do you save yourself or do you save everyone else?
I went to the doctors once because I was constipated before I was going to LA, and I didn't want to be constipated when I got there, and I cried in the appointment because I was so constipated. It makes me very upset.
Yes,
it's a hard. You are literally holding everything in, and there's no way to get it out. It's horrendous.
And then you're gonna get it out, how painful that's gonna be.
Yeah,
it's so
impending
painful.
Doom. There's no real there's no sort of benefit. Well, there is obviously a benefit, but you're not like motivated to go and do it because you know it's gonna be awful.
I wonder if it's ever been used as an excuse on a flight to like get into first class. You know, people are like, I'm on my honeymoon, it's my birthday, I had fondue last night.
I had fondue.
You're gonna need to get me away from
everybody.
You've
got a seat for the lady
else.
With the fondue. She needs
if
to
you want to save the other passengers, get me fucking away
I'm
from
sorry
these people.
I had a really luxurious meal of fondue only. I really need some special treatment.
This way to the lounge.
Totally convincing.
Oh, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we've settled the age-old debate. Well, we haven't really, but, you know, it's good to whether constipation or diarrhea is worse.
I think Liz and I are on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like you're not on board.
We'll put a poll out on Instagram for our six followers and, you know, see what happens. We'll get back to
those six people are going to be so thrilled to have a debate.
Finally, they're going to have their voice.
Yeah.
Liz, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
It's so nice to meet you both. And thanks for doing the good work, getting us talking about bowels. It's important.
It's our life's mission. And where can people find you on socials, Liz, if they want to look you up?
Yes, I am at Liz Guterbach on Instagram, on Twitter, and on TikTok as well. So it's all
she's not a millennial anymore. She's on TikTok.
She's on TikTok. She's got 3 videos up, and boy, are they fine.
They are mediocre.
They're about to get at least two extra likes from us.
They are there. That's what I'll tell
they're
you.
There.
They're there.
And what more can people ask you of that? If they're there,
they're
there.
You're done.
They're there. Great.
Go rest.
I'm on TikTok.
Thank you so much, Liz.
Thanks, you too.
What are we doing, sorry?
Oh, we're doing an outro.
Okay. We've got a lot on today. I don't know where's up, where's down.
Liz, thank you so much for coming on. I don't know about all of you listening, but we just found her the most soothing, wonderful person.
I really liked her top, and I wanted to say
the Do Nothing Club.
Yeah, I really liked it, and she was wearing a long sleeve top underneath, and that's my favourite thing to do. I was wearing a long sleeve top underneath the t-shirts, and you get the benefits of the t-shirt without having to wear like a jumper over the top. That's why I bought so many long sleeve tops, but I haven't done it yet, but I'm gonna now.
Guys, watch this space. You're about to see a lot of t-shirts on long sleeve tops.
I mean, that's not generally a good look, but she absolutely smashed it.
She's just great, and I would highly recommend watching her three videos on TikTok.
I actually haven't seen them because I don't have TikTok.
She's just a hun, and I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Mm-hmm. I hope you are about to snack up on some stock up, even on some gluten-free or dairy-free snacks if you've got a bad back.
Yes,
that's blown my mind.
I'm obsessed with watching, like, I don't know, is osteopath the same thing as a chiropractor? I'd imagine it's not.
It's not at all.
I don't think I understand the difference.
When I went to go see a chiropractor, I thought osteopaths was muscles and chiropractors bones and joints.
Interesting. I think. Okay.
Or it might be the other way around. One of my best mates is an osteopath, so I have to ask her.
Who's that?
Rose Jenner.
Is she?
Yeah.
I would really like to know, because I've never been to one either. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go to either, because I watch a lot of videos on YouTube about it.
Yeah,
and
you'd fucking love it. I love cracking stuff.
I fucking love it. But the NHS, sort of what Liz was saying, they are very, very particular about, like, chiropractors are only for back pain, mm-hmm, or whatever, mm-hmm. But I'm very, very much into Western medicine. Like, I do not like herbs and potions and all, mm-hmm, that bullshit, mm-hmm. You know, I'm the most cynical hag around, and yet some of the videos, you can actually, even if it's not proven, you can see there was this one, it was like a kid, and it helped him with his like wind and bowel stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it got like loads of like complaints on YouTube and were taken down because it's like, you shouldn't be doing this to a kid, but it was working, so I don't see a problem with that.
Well, I mean, you see them doing these like baby massages, don't you, where they've got their little legs and then suddenly it all comes flying out. I quite like those videos.
Okay. So it does work. It does. I just want to go to either an osteopath or a chiropractor and just ask them to sort my life out, really. I don't care what they do. Can they just do something?
As we keep saying, it's all related.
It's all, yeah. Oh, God, it's all related, isn't it? I'm fucked.
Have a lovely day.
Bye.
Bye.